Another big announcement, this time out of Georgia. One of the largest megachurches in the country, North Point Ministries, has just said that it is suspending all in-person worship for the rest of the year. This is a church with 7 locations in and around Atlanta, ministering to more than 30,000 people every Sunday. Joining me right now is the pastor of North Point Church, Pastor Andy Stanley. Pastor, thank you for being here. It does not go unnoticed when a pastor of with your reach says that he can't keep his congregation safe. What are you seeing that led you to this decision?
Anna, you understand this, your viewers understand this. We have to go to the grocery store, we have to go to the drugstore, we have to go to work. We don't have to go to church. So we have chosen to bring church to the people in our community, actually people all over the world. And this is a temporary shutdown, but the church isn't shut down. It's just our Sunday morning services. So this really was about the health of our congregation, but not just our congregation. This was about the health of our entire community.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
Right now, we're in the worst possible situation. And between 3,000 and 4,000 deaths per day.
Tonight, hope resting on that vaccine.
The coronavirus vaccine.
Across the country, hope that this is a game changer.
But no vaccine will be effective if the people don't take it.
A lot of people are very fearful of the vaccine.
I don't know that I'm gonna take it. I don't even take the flu shot.
I've heard a lot of crazy things.
This vaccine can alter your DNA. It's too close to the mark of the beast.
Dr. Fauci, I wanted to ask you a follow-up question.
Yeah, let me just chime in here.
What potential side effects do we need to worry about? Why should the American people trust this vaccine?
Thank you so much for being here. Right before you take your seat, I just want to say this because I want to see how it sounds. Governor Stacey Abrams just walked in. And so glad to see you again. So, guess you already know. Yes, ma'am. So you already know what to do, right? How many of you have already done it? Wow. Big time. Make it happen. Do what you got to do.
You're running for governor of Georgia. I would assume, maybe incorrectly, but while abortion is an issue, it nowhere reaches the level of interest of voters in terms of the cost of gas, food, bread, milk, things like that. What can a governor, what could you do as governor to alleviate the concerns of Georgia voters about those livability, daily, hourly issues that they're confronted with?
But let's be clear. Having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs. For women, this is not a reductive issue. You can't divorce being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy from the economic realities of having a child. And so it's important for us to have both and conversations. We don't have the luxury of reducing it or separating them out, but we also have to talk about what a governor can do. A governor can address housing prices. A governor can address the cost of education. A governor can put money into the pockets of everyday hardworking Georgians instead of giving tax cuts to the wealthy. That's what I talk about on the trail, and that's what's resonating. But let's not pretend that women, half the population, especially those of childbearing age, they understand that having a child is absolutely an economic issue. It is only politicians who see it as simply another cultural conversation. It is a real biological and economic imperative conversation that women need to have.
We hold these truths to be self-evident,
All men and women created by the, go, you know the thing.
We will shut you down. We will cite you. And if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail. Period.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
God actually spoke to me. He spoke about sacredness. He said to me, Kim, what I place in many, many people is sacred. And if anybody touches what is sacred to me, then it is the end for them. So what I've done in the United States of America is sacred. And there are people on every side that are trying to destroy what I deem sacred. And it's not going to happen.
This is the definition of criminal conspiracy, racketeering, and collusion. This is not a theory. This is evidence.
Because I have upheld this country to spread a light to the rest of the world. When you choose to go against the sacred thing that God puts into the very heart and the soil of this nation, this was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Aaron, have you ever met somebody in real life where you're like, man, this guy's awesome, but then you met him up close and it's like, did that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Like at that pro athlete thing where you're like, oh, this is going to be like, great.
Wow, they were a great personality on TV. But when you meet them, oh, boy.
If you have to see that happen. There's some people you don't really know, and you meet them and they're better up close.
Yeah.
Then you're hearing things.
A few of those.
And today's guest is one of those people. He's better up close than I was advertised.
This is true.
And he's just a great guy, a sincere guy. I'm not going to tell you his name, not going to mention his website, not going to do anything nice to him on today's show. I'm going to paint him into a corner, kind of verbally abuse him. Let me hit this clip, and then we'll introduce today's guest. Here we go, folks.
Good one. All right. COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. We want to stop this epidemic. We need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin. What we have seen so far is corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We now see mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin.
Now, before we play the rest of us, this music soundtrack is provided mainly by me banging pots and pans in my kitchen.
That's good.
Embedded in his hand is a microchip that serves as his keys, his ID, and his wallet.
Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin.
I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection.
COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
This is Richard Werner, the top academic scholar in the world on central banking.
The nature of the CBDC, what is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that. But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. And it was around this large and would be implanted under your skin.
CBDC. If that happens, we're done.
How concerned are you about the collapse of the U.S. dollar, sir?
It's the end of the dollar system. So the end is near for the U.S. dollar.
One way to protect your
okay,
money.
So Todd Coconato, Pastor Todd Coconato, welcome to the Thrive Time Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good to be with you guys, man. It gives me a glimmer of hope in a day of craziness, you know? So,
I gotta ask you, bro. I mean, you know, you're watching this, seeing Yuval Noah Harari, I always try to put together the best of the worst so people can get to the point quickly.
Yeah.
How do you process what he just said?
There's so much to think about. I mean, you know, we're just coming off of this whole Tucker Carlson interview last night, and again tonight he's going to be just blowing the lid off of January 6th. And we've been talking about this for how long, Clay? We were exactly right. Once again, they called it conspiracy. They were taking down social media accounts. And then what do you know? A year or two later, here it comes out. Just so happens we were right. So what you're saying now, I'm going to just put the same thing. As people say these types of things, oh, conspiracy alarmist. No, what you're saying is, look, this is happening, and they're making the vaccinated people into antennas, and they have a plan for this. It's actually been talked about quite a bit. Mm. And by the way, it's in the Bible too. It's in the Bible.
Oh, snap. Now there's four lanes I want to go in here, and I'll go back and forth between you and Aaron. There's four lanes I want to go in, okay? And these are you never talk about these things. You know, like in a restaurant, if you're at a restaurant and some guy says an inappropriate word, everyone looks like.
Right.
You know, there's like certain words where you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
There's parts of the Bible you don't go into at most churches. Okay. I'm just walking up.
That's true.
You don't go into Matthew chapter 24. Yeah. You don't know. Because if you do, you're not getting people coming back next Sunday. And you don't go into Luke 21 because that's kind of like Matthew 24 from a different perspective. Yeah. You don't read Daniel chapter 2 because that'll freak the kids out. And you don't read Revelation chapter 6 or chapter 13. You just don't. It's hard to find a sermon where the pastor's like, okay, guys, this week. Here we go.
Here to inspire you.
Now, you do hear the phrase a lot, we win in the end. Right. A lot of Christians go, we win, baby. Woo! Are you quoting Ric Flair? Okay, so let's go Luke 21 there. Let's talk about that. You know, the apostles, they ask Jesus, hey, how do we know when you're coming back? Jesus tells them, why don't we hear about that more, Todd? Or what should we know more about what Jesus told his apostles?
Yeah, he said there's going to be signs in the heaven and the earth. He said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He said that people are going to call good evil and evil good. There was a lot of things that were said, and we're seeing all those things happen. And what I liken it to, Clay, is there's a lot of people that just don't want to be hear anything negative. They don't want to hear any. And I know this because I did a live stream the other day, and I was talking about Pegasus. Have you guys heard about Pegasus?
Oh, come on. Now you're being negative. Get off the show.
I was talking The Guardian, actually, which is a liberal publication. They did a pretty good expose on this Pegasus. And to your point in the beginning, what Yuval Noah Harari was saying, but our cell phone can be turned on by at any moment, the microphone, the camera, they track you, what you buy. They can look at your emails. They can look at your text. So I was doing a broadcast about this, and the people on there, Clay, they were like writing in the comments, well, I already know that we win in the end. And, you know, I try not to worry about stuff like this. And, you know, and I was reading the comments. These are people that follow me. I was pretty shocked how they had such a lack of interest about such an important subject matter. The fact that your phone could literally be listening to you at any moment of your day, that could read all your emails, all your texts, everything that you're doing, and could be putting this information somewhere, which we know is happening because of the domestic spy program. So it boggles my mind. It blows my mind that people didn't even want to hear this. But see, that's what happened in Nazi Germany. That's what when Dietrich Bonhoeffer was out there sounding the alarm. You know, pastors, listen, something's coming. Something's coming.
Hey, listen here. You're being negative. I'm going to have to cut you off for a second here. Let me go here. Next thing I want to talk about here, I'm going to pull this up here. And this is, I want people to know this, okay? The churches that are just, because people, it says in the Bible in Timothy, if I'm correct, that eventually people will get to a place where they'll have itching ears, where people can't, they won't endure sound doctrine because they'll have itching ears. Just look up itching ears, King James. So it says itching ears. My ears are itching. What? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away from their ears and turn and shall be turned into fables. What? So Andy Stanley, he's drawn quite a crowd. Watch this. Watch this. He's filling the flow.
Clay is back in the news, and every Christian should be concerned on, because Andy. What is happening in evangelical churches
let Andy do
has
it.
A negative impact on the church as a whole, but more importantly, on the next generation of Christians.
Here we go.
The gay men and women who grew up in church and the gay men and women who've come to faith in Christ as adults who want to participate in our church. Oh my goodness. I know 1 Corinthians 6 and I know Leviticus and I know Romans 1. It's so interesting to talk about all that stuff. But just, oh my goodness, a gay man or woman who wants to worship their heavenly Father, who did not answer.
Now, if he did a sermon next week where he's like, and there's a Nazi that wants to work together with the people of color together. Is he one? Just a Nazi? Just a Nazi who loves to kill people of color, just wants to team up with them, and we can't judge him. And there's just a man who wants to just spend time with a little young child and just, you know, have an intimate relationship. And here we are cutting them off. And I just want everyone to know. Now, listen, watch him.
The cry of their heart when they were 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. You know, you do business with gay people. Gay people come to your church. You're not like,
I did business with one today. I mean,
in fact, it's the opposite. It's like, I think they're gay. Gay people here, it's great. I love our church. We're, you know, I mean, and if you're gay, I know, just be patient with us. We're weird, I know, but you understand, because you're here because you love Jesus and you probably grew up in church, and you know we're trying to figure this whole thing out. Jesus said you're to be wise as serpents and shrewd, wise serpents. You're supposed to be wise as, harmless as doves and shrewd as serpents. We get so harmless, we forget sometimes we need to be shrewd. We need to be more snake-like in the appropriate Jesus kind of way, which means when people need to begin shifting their thinking, you don't get up and announce, you disciple and you teach people. Leading our churches to acknowledge there are gay people, not just straight people, with a sin problem. Now, what does this have to do with the next generation that has everything? To be clear, we don't need to get the next generation to acknowledge that. They assume that. Oh. But as long as they think that we don't understand that, they can't hear us. They just can't. Now, is that fair? No. Is it even fair? Should it be that way? No. But it's just that way. And this is so complicated, and this is so difficult. Now, if you're gay, don't hear me saying you're complicated and you're difficult.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, I mean, Todd, Andy Stanley, he's also the man who said that churches don't need to be open, but grocery stores need to stay open. Because he said, we don't need to go to church, we need to go to the grocery store during the pandemic. What are your thoughts there? Andy Stanley just...
I think he's drinking too much soy products is what's going on. Something's not right there, man. Listen, man. I mean, look, I got respect for his dad. I would actually, you know, I challenge him to a duel here on the show sometime. Okay. I'd love to get into biblical, you know, because he's like, oh, we got to be like a snake. Yeah, no, actually. Here's the thing, man. I came from the world. I came from Hollywood. You guys know this, okay? I was coming into the church. I was messed up. I was a sinner. I thought I was going to get hit with a lightning bolt. No joke. When I walked into church on the way, okay, coming in there. And here's the thing, though. Did I expect them to change the gospel for me? No. Okay. What brought me to repentance was the scripture, was the truth. And that's it's the truth that sets you free, not compromise. Oh, you know, I'm going to make it look okay, so then maybe you'll like it. No, that's the whole problem. It was me on my face saying... I'm a sinner. I need
you're
a savior.
You're being so negative. You got to be more snake-like. You see, you take out your hand and you just more snake-like, and that's the key to church growth today. You know, now Andy Stanley, he couldn't be here today, Aaron. So I pulled up another clip, and I I'm not going to attack you, Todd or Aaron. I'm not going to attack, but this was me talking. This isn't you talking. You guys can both rebuke me. Mm-hmm. I don't care who his dad was, me personally. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who my brother's dad was. And I don't care who my neighbor's dad was. And I don't care, because it's at the end of the day, the Bible actually says, now I'm not attacking, I'm not disagreeing, I'm just saying, I think what happens is Christians, we have become like this very, very group that's just like, now you're talking, you're raising your voice now, Clay. Could you
put it over it?
So there's a lot of second generation pastors that have been given a hall pass. And I love about Todd is you give respect to the dad, because you respected him for who he was.
Sure.
And now you're calling the current situation. There's a lot of ministries that are on like the second or third generation where anything goes at this point. Watch it. Here we go.
Another big announcement, this time out of Georgia. One of the largest megachurches in the country, North Point Ministries, has just said that it is suspending all in-person worship for the rest of the year. This is a church with 7 locations in and around Atlanta, ministering to more than 30,000 people every Sunday. Joining me right now is the pastor of North Point Church, Pastor Andy Stanley. Pastor, thank you for being here. It does not go unnoticed when a pastor with your reach says that he can't keep his congregation safe. What are you seeing that led you to this decision?
Anna, you understand this. Your viewers understand this. We have to go to the grocery store. We have to go to the drugstore. We have to go to work. We don't have to go to church.
Really?
So we have chosen to bring church to the people in our community, actually people all over the world. And this is
I'm just saying this, and I'm not looking for any specific churches, but I'm saying this. I've seen this, Todd, and I'll go to you, Aaron, in a minute. I'm seeing ministries where people keep going there for years, and I go, why?
Right.
Like, because the great-great-grandfather was one of the leading members of the Four Square Movement. Like, what? Because his father's father was one of the founding fathers. That would be like me working for a boss who is negligent, dishonest, incorrect, dumb, stupid, disorganized, unprofitable, but because his grandfather started the company 27 years ago. Where's the, I mean, I'm seeing some real pastors show up now. I'm starting to see, I'm starting to see Mario Murillo show up. I'm starting to see you show up. I'm starting to see a lot of real pastors show up, and I'm starting to see the fake pastors sort of fade away. What are you seeing? Because this is the world you're in now. I would love to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, the thing with the mega churches is one of two things. Either you have a move of God that drew the people because you're speaking truth and the Holy Spirit is drawing people there, or you're speaking a wide gate theology that is enticing people to come because you're not calling out sin. So it's one of the two. It's either a move of God or it's compromise. In this case, this man is saying, you don't need to go to church. Well, there's a scripture that says, lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. There's a scripture that says, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. And to your point, you know, by the way, people like John F. Kennedy was actually not a bad president, but he was a Democrat. But that's a long way away from Joseph Biden or, you know, whatever you want to call this guy. So, you know, the whole thing, weekend at Bernie's, you can call him. But the thing is, the bottom line, man, is that, you know, just because JFK was a pretty decent president doesn't mean his great-grandson is going to be a decent, you know. So to your point, you can't go with the lineage. You got to go with what the person in the pulpit is actually speaking. And I don't know why, but I feel like I'm speaking to somebody out there. You're still sitting in one of these churches that maybe your grandfather went to or you've been there for years, but you know they're not speaking the truth. And why are you still going there? Don't you want to get behind a lion and a general?
Nor will they. And the thing is that the churches that are speaking up can't minister to you because you...